So, welcome back from break. We are now in Perek Lamed Aleph, the 31st chapter in Bereishis Rabbah. And we started this last time, but because it was a few weeks ago, and because really this medrash sets up the next one, I want to go back to the beginning of this medrash again and review first what we saw last time, and then build from there. So if you feel like, oh, I know this already, I apologize. I also hope the review sheet that I sent out during the break was in some way helpful in terms of what we've already done. What we're going to see here in the first four midrashim of this parak, of this chapter, is a stretch of medrash that shifts the focus. So that for our first however many weeks it was, when we did Perek Lamed, chapter 30, the focus was on Noah. And the Torah's description of these are the generations of Noah, Noah was righteous, and so on. That's done, so to speak. Now we shift to the crime committed by the generation that experiences the flood. And for these opening four midrashim, we're looking at specifically the Torah's description of the land as filled with Hamas. Saying the land is filled with Hamas is a very awkward phrase. I mean, on the one hand, it sort of fits the modern vernacular. You would say it was a crime-filled city, right? So you have this idea of placing the problem in the setting and saying it's a crime-filled city. But on another level, you look at it and say, well, why doesn't it say everybody is committing Hamas? Saying that the land is somehow engaged in it, and saying that the land is filled with it, might be giving me some kind of a message. So the opening four midrashim of this parak, of this chapter, are going to give us four different ways to look at this phrase, the land is filled with Hamas. As well as then what comes from there, the divine decision to destroy the land that he had created. Now, the way we're going to do it is in each of the four midrashim, we're going to link to a different verse. So here, we'll see one from Yechezkel, the next one we'll see one from Amos, and then we'll see two from Job. And in each case, it's really a medrash explaining that outside verse that happens to be useful in understanding Mal'aha Aretz Hamas, what that phrase means. So, we set it up here with source number one. The sentence is from Yechezkel, from Ezekiel. This is part of a passage in which Yechezkel warns the Jews before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, before the temple's been destroyed, that God is bringing in a wicked force, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, to punish the Jews for their sins. So taking a look at source number one, I'll do it somewhat quickly because it is something that we saw last time. Hine hayom, hine va'ah. He says, behold, the day comes. It has arrived. Yatz'ah ha-tzifirah. The morning has come. Tzifirah, we understand to be a reference to morning, like in Aramaic, tzafra, meaning morning. Tzatz ha-mateh, the rod has blossomed. Parach ha-zadon, the villain, or perhaps the villainy, has flowered. Okay, it's an expression of boy is trouble coming. And then in Pasuk Yud Aleph, in sentence 11, it says, Hamas kam lematei resha. Hamas has arisen to become a wicked rod. Lo mehem, not of them. Velo mehamonam, not of their masses. Velo mehem mehem, and not of their noise. Velo noah bahem, and the wailing is not from them, is not of them. So how do I understand what the them references here are? So Radak says it means the Babylonians. And what it's saying is, the Babylonians will succeed, not because of them, not because they're so great, not because of their masses. The Babylonians are going to succeed, it won't be because of their great numbers. Not because of the noise that they can rouse against you. The wailing that you're going to do is not because of them. It's not that the Babylonians are so powerful. Rather, it's that God is behind them. Because you have sinned, God has brought them against you, and God is going to make them successful, even though it's not really necessarily within their means. And we noted a couple of points from this last time. Number one, we noted that in Pasuk Yud, in sentence 10, it talks about the villain blossoming and flowering. You may recall that in an early Medrash, we had the righteous people blossoming and bearing fruit and flowering and so on. Here it's the Babylonians who are doing the blossoming and the flowering as God's tool against the Jews. The other piece of it was, of course, this word Noah that's at the end of the sentence, which is a very hard word to render. Radak is the one who says that Noah is Nehi, it's wailing. Rashi quotes the word Vayinahu, it's a longing word. But clearly Noah begs the association with the word Noah. And in particular, when you see the word Hamas and Noah in the same sentence, and Hamas is this kind of hallmark word for the Noah story. So that's what sets this up, are these verses from Yechezkel. And that's what gets this going. We see a description of the Babylonians coming to invade. The Hamas, the violence, is their Hamas that has arisen to become a wicked rod, a tool of punishment against you. That was from the Psukim. That brought us to the Medrash. And the Medrash is going to take three central steps. Number one is that it's going to tell us that Hamas isn't only violent theft, which is the way it's used in the Noah story. It refers to violence in general. So that here, when that sentence in Yechezkel says, Hamas rises, it's actually divine violence. Right? It's violence triggered by God to punish this generation of the flood. God is the practitioner of Hamas, so to speak. That's number one. Number two, the Medrash is not going to take Radak's view of how to read sentence 11, in which he said that the them references are of the Babylonians. Rather, he says the them is about the recipients, the people on the receiving end of the suffering, the people on the receiving end of the Hamas. So the way to read the sentence will be, Hamas has arisen to become this wicked rod. God is using Hamas to punish the people. And what he says is, the recipients, not of them and not of their masses and not so, and not of their noise and so on. So we'll have to see what that means, how the Medrash is going to do that. And then finally, it's going to change the word Noah to Noach. So let's take a look at what the Medrash does. Source number two. Vayomer Elokim l'Noach, Kates kol basar, and so on. God says, the end of all flesh has come before me, and as I said before when we started, the real goal here is going to be to explain a later clause in the sentence where it says, mal'ah ha'aretz Hamas, that the land is filled with Hamas. So the Medrash quotes this sentence from Yechezkel that we read, HaChamas kam lamate resha, the Hamas has arisen to become a wicked rod. And first the Medrash asks a question, HaChamas kam? Hamas has arisen? Asmaha! That's shocking. What do you mean Hamas has arisen? We make the assumption philosophically, Hamas cannot rise. Hamas cannot endure. Hamas is a blip. If horrible things are going on, that is a temporary thing that God allows. It's not something that would be allowed to endure. So how could you tell me Hamas is going to rise? And so the Medrash says, Chas v'shalom, God forbid, Eino kam, Hamas cannot rise. Hamas cannot endure. V'im kam, and if it does rise, Lemate resha, it will be as a rod for wickedness, meaning the chiyuvo shel rasha, to hold the wicked liable, to punish the wicked. So that the sentence in Yechezkel is saying that the wicked are going to suffer Hamas, and then it continues, velo mehem, velo mehamonam, velo mehem mehem, which means, lo minhon, there is nothing from them, velo imamonam, there was nothing from their wealth, velo min tamahas hon, and not from their desolation either. Meaning, I'm using the Matnos Kahuna's explanation of their desolation, but the point is that he's saying, why do they deserve this? Why is God bringing this upon them? Because they're terrible. Because there's nothing good about them at all. Not mayhem, not from them. Not from their mammon, their property either. That's why it takes hamonam, not to mean their masses, but to mean their wealth. And not from tamaso, not from their desolation, which is associated with the Hebrew word shemama. That's the tamahas hon, is associated with shemama, or shama as it sometimes appears. And the idea is that they produce nothing of worth. Everything about this generation of the flood is worthless. And because of that, God is going to use Hamas against them. That's the idea of this medrash. And it cements it with the next line. Lama, why? Why is this so? Lo Noah Bahem. It takes Noah here to mean like Noah, not Noah the person, but Noah in the sense of ease or satisfaction, nachat. No creature gained any satisfaction from these people. And God didn't have any satisfaction from them either.
So Hamas there is not necessarily what is transpiring, but is the punishment.
Correct.
In this case, and the punishment used by God because they are worthless.
Because they are so completely and entirely worthless. And not just worthless in the sense that there is no positive to them, but in the sense that they are destructive. So God says they have no redeeming value. Now, in context, remember, Yechezkel is not talking about the generation of the flood. Yechezkel, as we said at the beginning, is talking about the Jews of the first Beis Hamikdash. And God is declaring there's nothing good among them, and therefore they are going to be punished with the Hamas of the Babylonians.
And the Midrash takes as a given that Hamas is something that doesn't expand.
It can't endure. It cannot endure. It is a given. Philosophically, the Hamas cannot endure. You know what? From God's mouth to God's ears. But that's the statement here. And this is all, that's all review from last time. The only thing I think that I'm adding there is just to note that this is the first of four ways to explain the phrase Ki mal'ah ha'aretz Hamas mipneihem. When he says the land is filled with Hamas because of them, so now I understand a little bit more. Right? Number one, mal'ah. It is filled. Meaning, there's nothing good. It is totally and entirely thus. That's number one. Number two is that it's Hamas. The land is filled with Hamas, mayhem, because of them, meaning the violence that God is going to bring. That's the Hamas that is going to fill the land, because they fill the land with their worthlessness. Therefore, there will be Hamas brought to this world, and it's mipneihem. It's because of them. That's the idea. Now, the Gemara itself has this idea with a twist. Take a look, please, at source number 3. We've talked before about the ways in which Medrash will appear, not just in one place in Medrash, but in multiple places, as well as in the Gemara, with variations. So here, take a look at what happens. Source number 3, a passage from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Tell me what the key difference is. They quote our sentence from Yechezkel. Uchsiv, it is written, Hachamas kam lamate resha, lo mehem, velo meham onam, velo mehem mehem, velo noah bahem. Right? That's the same sentence we just read. So, Hamas has arisen to become a wicked rod, not of them, not of their masses, not of their noise, the wailing. Amar Rabbi Elazar says, Melamed shezakaf atzmo kimakel. This teaches that he stood himself up. Hamas stood up, right? The Hamas kam. Hamas stood up, kemakel, like a rod. Ve'amad lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it stood up before God. Ve'amar lefanav, and it declared before God, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Lo mehem velo mehamonon velo mehem mehem velo noabahem. He says, not of them, not of their masses, not of their noise. The wailing is not of them. They are completely and totally worthless. But Hamas, this is the key difference, is now personified. Hamas is not the violence that they perform, which is the way I would have taken the straightforward sentence. Hamas is not the violence God brings against them either. Hamas is an entity. It's this entity of violence which testifies against its perpetrators.
But in a sense, Hamas is a creation of God, a vehicle that answers to God. So there's almost, you know, one doesn't see it in the most negative picture that we usually see it, because it's only their tool that answers to God, that requests of God. So there's some.
But it sounds sort of like, you know, a phrase that we use poetically, where, you know, your own deeds testify on your behalf or against you, depending on how you look at it. It's not so much to me that the Hamas is a creature of God's creation. I'm not seeing it as like a Satan type of a thing. I'm looking at it more as what they did is now going to actually stand up and testify, but it's given a personality. So it's an odd thing, but really Yechezkel is the one who did that by phrasing it in this way. Hamas rises, and he continues. Tana deve Rabbi Yishmael. They taught in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael. Af al Noach nechtach gizar din. The truth is, this decree was upon Noach too. Elisha matzachin beinei Hashem. But Noah found favor in God's eyes. Shenemar, and here he does something very interesting. The Torah says, Nichamsi ki asi sim, v'noach matzachin be'enei Hashem. What Rabbi Yishmael is doing here, I'm going to hold for a moment, because you're going to see it in a moment in our own Medrash. So wait with this, the thought of Rabbi Yishmael. Take a look at the second part of our Medrash, please. Our Medrash is about to violate the laws of grammar and the laws of trop, the musical notes that we use when we lean. And that's okay. That's not the end of the world. Take a look at what happens in source number 4. These are the psukim. These are the sentences on which the Medrash is commenting. These are the last two sentences in Parshas Bereishis. Vayomer Hashem, God said, Emches ha'adama shebarasi me'al p'nei ha'adama. I am going to wipe out the man I created from on the face of the earth, me Adam, ad behema, ad remes, v'ad ov hashamayim, man, beast, crawling creature, bird of the heavens, all gone. Why? Ki nichamti, ki asisim, for I regret having created them. Leave aside the question of how God regrets things, all sorts of nice explanations for that. That's the point right now. But God says, I regret having created them. They're all deserving of destruction. New sentence. V'noach matzachein be'enei Hashem. And Noach found favor in the eyes of God.
So because that comes after God's displeasure rather than before God's displeasure, we see it as, even though Noach should have been in the decree, and even though Noach displeased God, something about him made him worthy of.
So Rebecca is already jumping to the drasha's sensitivity to language. So hold that for 1 second, and then I think that's exactly where we need to go. My first step would have been to say, based on the narrative, which is generation bad, Noah good, right? So I would have said this is a subjunctive when it says v'Noach matzachin. All of them, they're awful. But Noah found favor in God's eyes. But Rebecca notes that the juxtaposition is odd. And so she suggests, you have to be sensitive to this juxtaposition in the language and say, maybe what we're actually being told is that the decree should have happened to Noah too. And it's just that divine favor spared him. Now, we had a conversation about this already, several midrashim back, when we talked about Ela told us Noach, and Noach is tzaddik, Ela marks him as being unique, being different. Had I stopped with the Noach Matzachin, I could have thought he found favor for some other reason. Now I know Noach is righteous. This medrash is not going to follow that view. Indeed, this medrash is going to look at it rather differently. Take a look in source 5. This is the second half of our Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. Lo Noah Bohem. We play on Noah and Noach. Ke'ahid the Omer Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. Like Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana said, and we've seen Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana a few times already. He's one of the steady voices in our Midrashim. Ki nichamti ki asisim v'noach. Read it as an enjambment. Right? In poetry, when one line runs right into the next. I regret having created them and Noach. Meaning, afilu Noach shenishtayer mehem eino kedai. Even Noach, who remained of them, he's not worthy either. Well, then why is he here? Elisha matzachein. He found favor. Noach matzachein. God decided I'm not going to destroy him. And then the Medrash concludes, Ulefisha yushtufim b'ziman yimochum in ha'olam, because they were flooded in immorality, they were wiped from the world. I'm going to come back to that line in a moment. But first, what we're saying is, Noach wasn't great. It's not, they were awful, therefore I'm going to destroy them, but Noach found favor. Rather, I regret creating them, I regret creating Noach, but I found it favorable to save Noach anyway. That's what this medrash is doing. Yes.
Is Abba Bar Kahana almost using Noach twice? So he would say, Noach, and then he repeats
it
again.
Yeah,
Noach.
He's reading it as
in both sentences.
Yes, it's a true enjambment. It's this word Noach really belongs at the end of the previous sentence, but it also flows into this line. Yeah, you got it. That's the way this medrash is looking at, running absolutely counter to what we've said about Noach before. What's this business about immorality? Because they were flooded in immorality, they were wiped from the world. Where did that come from? It's very odd. Not only that, we're going to see it in the next medrash also, the same statement. These four medrashim that I described in the very beginning as a set, right, where I said that these four midrashim are all going to be about Kimal Aha Aretz Hamas, they're all going to have a shared closing line. The closing line for all of them is going to be either, and because they were flooded in immorality, or because they were flooded in Hamas, they were wiped from the world. The immorality reference is odd, though, because it's not what we talk about as their sin. So what's it doing here? What is this about? Who asked you to discuss immorality? This wasn't about immorality. This is about Hamas. This is about violence. It's about people beating each other up and stealing from them. Not so much. Not in that section. It's very odd. And let there be no misunderstanding, because I worded it euphemistically, but Zima is sexual immorality. It doesn't, violence is immoral also. But that's not what he's talking about. So the Yifei Tohar commentary to the Medrash actually says, yeah, this is a mistake. It's a mistake in the edition. It should mention, actually, I'm sorry, he doesn't say that here. He says it on the next Medrash, which is going to mention Gezel and Zima. So there is the way he says, the word Zima doesn't really belong. Here it's harder to say that because the word Gezel does not appear. The Eitz Yosef has an interesting take in his commentary, suggesting that the idea is Hamas rose against them, and then that was what caused God to put them on trial, and the Zima was what did them in. The immorality was what did them in, which is an interesting take. I think I would probably give a simpler, it doesn't really solve it fully, but a simpler answer in source number 6, the top of the second side, which describes part of their sins. Vayir'u. The next words in the sentence are B'nei HaElokim, and I didn't want to get into those words because that creates an entirely new realm of havoc in terms of who those B'nei HaElokim or B'nei HaElohim are, which you have to decide on when you write it on your sheet, because you have to decide whether to write B'nei HaElokim or B'nei HaElokim. So I decided to skip the problem. but they, whoever they are, saw as Binos Ha'adam, the daughters of man, Kitavos Hena, that they were good, Vaikulahem Nashim Mikol Asher Bacharu, when they took women for themselves from all they chose. The message is, they took whoever they wanted, and that's the Zima that we are referring to. In other words, it's not that this is some new crime invented out of left field. This actually was in the preceding section where the Torah describes what their sins are. So it's not entirely foreign to us, and that's what this Medrash is picking up on. But in sum, the Medrash here is saying, when we say Mal'a Ha'aretz Chamas Mipneihem, we're saying that the world is totally bad, and so totally bad that even Noah is bad. Mal'a Ha'aretz Chamas, it's filled with Chamas, means even Noah. And because of this, the land will be further filled with Hamas, as their Hamas rises up and causes God to act with Hamas against them too.
Because of this, because of all
of this. Because they're, yes. Yep, you got it.
And does anybody at all talk about the fact that Zima and this sexual component introduced here has any reflection on those people writing these Midrashim or those people commenting later on and they reflecting either their time or
Right. So I haven't seen anyone make the comment. It's always possible that an author of a Medrash is trying to promote this idea that people need to learn from and feels that there's something going on. But I really don't. I don't know beyond that. There certainly are pedagogic tools. That's for sure. So the methods that we've seen here are, number one, using our section in the Torah to shed light on the sentences in Yechezkel. Number two, the play on Noah, Noach, which is encouraged by the word Hamas, to connect that to our parsha. This vav of Vinoach Matzachain, and what are we grouping Noah with those who came before in there, who were described as being wicked. And, by the way, it contradicts the Medrash that we saw, which talked about Noah being so righteous and different from everybody else. That's okay. We've had more explicit debate in the Medrash on Hithalech, right? Et Halokim et Halech Noach. And Tamim Hayav Bedoro Tav. He was righteous in his generations, perfect in his generations. So we discussed there, we had two different views. Rabbi Yehuda says this, Rabbi Nechemiah says that. That's what we're seeing here. Is that one view is that Noah is really above and beyond what's going on and he doesn't get into the sins that they get into. And the other way to look at it is no, Noah is unfortunately a part of the picture, and what spares him is not necessarily his greatness, but rather the divine decision that this is favorable to God, that Noah should survive. This is what God wants to have happen. Yeah.
This morning with Shoshana, we were talking about Lech Lecha, and I noticed that at the beginning of the parsha of Noah, Elohim, God is known as the God of judgment. And at the beginning of Lech Lecha, it's God of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Does the God of judgment have a different attitude towards how he treats Noah, let's say, because we're talking about Noah? And the God of justice have a different attitude towards the way Abraham is seen and treated?
You got mercy when you hit Abraham. So usually we try to render the justice or mercy description based on what we perceive going on. So this is the tail rather than the dog. So if Hashem is judging, then it makes sense that we would call him Elohim.
Right.
If Hashem is acting with mercy, as he does when he adopts Abraham, then it makes sense that it would be Hashem. Having said that, we find many times where the description of God doesn't match, and then we have other explanations for why not. So, for example, we will have times when God acts with mercy, and yet we'll see the word Elohim and we'll say it's because even justice dictated that God be merciful here. We have ways of dealing with it in different circumstances, but I would say yes, seeing Elohim here for Noah is consistent certainly with the justice that we're seeing. Yeah. Okay. So that's all continuation from last time. That's just to wrap up the previous Medrash.